We have now David Holder with us, who is from Arion, and we'll talk about Samba in... Whoa, you're not done with the pre-lunch chat now? who will talk about deploying Samba in IPv6 networks? Enjoy it.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Yes, my name's David Holder, and I've missed Samba XP last year due to the ash cloud. I was just walking out of my hotel room to go to the airplane when my phone rang to say that the airport was closed. So I'm here this year to tell you what I was going to tell you last year, but with a little bit more emphasis. Normally when I come here, I talk about how to develop IPv6 in Samba, how to migrate IPv6 to Samba, how to get the code working. That's what I've spent a lot of time doing over the last few years. This time, I'm coming to tell you how to deploy it so that you can see how you build your infrastructure around Samba to make IPv6 work. I can cover any topic you like about IPv6, so please ask questions through the talk, and I'll leave enough time for us to discuss anything that you'd like to know more about. IPv6 probably won't cure the common cold, but it might. And it might also bring about world peace. It's possible. We will see. But it's a wonderful topic. So I hope you're going to enjoy this. A little bit about myself. I've been working with IPv6 for 13 years. And I've been working with Samba, Windows, Unix integration for a lot longer, right back to LAN Manager and Pathworks and wonderful things like that. Pathworks, indeed. I was talking to somebody earlier about Pathworks. I thought it was dead and gone, but I'm wrong. Okay, PowerPoint, Microsoft, fantastic. My screen is not following that. Let me just try again. That's better. So, what we're going to do, a bit of background, first of all, about IPv6, about where we are with Samba and IPv6, and a reminder for those who don't know of what the differences are, which reminds me... How many people here are still running legacy IPv4 networks? Okay. That's worrying. Are you not aware that we've got problems? Anyway, who's...
Ask the other way
around. Who's running IPv6? Okay, that's good.
You did not ask legacy IPv6. Right.
That's for the next decade anniversary of Samba XP, because we'll need to find a revenue stream for Arion in about 10 years' time. So I'm going to have a look at what the differences are, and then we're going to focus on how to deploy it, and particularly on the infrastructure, because for Samba people rolling out IPv6, it's the infrastructure that nowadays will mainly catch you out. And then we'll look at Samba 3 and talk a little bit about the future. What are the things that we might get out of IPv6 in the future? So, just a reminder, IPv4 is a legacy protocol. If you go to IANA now with your bowl, please, sir, can I have some more IPv4 addresses? You can't. So in January, the central pool ran out. There are no more. It's the end of an era. This year... The regional registries that hold the IP addresses for your ISPs, they will run out. APNIC very soon, and the rest of them will follow probably in August. And then you are relying for IPv4 addresses on the stock that your ISP may or may not have. And the burn rate in some areas of the world is unbelievable. China, for example, that ate up the last 2/8s, of APNIC's blocks, they gave out millions of addresses immediately to mobile phone networks that needed them, and they were gone.
Just put them behind in hand.
Okay, let me explain something. There is a dark side to the world in which we live. It's called NAT. I come from an age of innocence, an age of happiness. Do you remember it? The days when your IP host connected to each other. Woo! Do you remember those days? I remember them. I remember I got /8s, got 2 of them, just by asking. And if you wanted to connect from one host to another, you could do. We now live in a perverse age where virtually all of our networks are broken by evil. NAT. Evil. No, not firewalls. NAT. NAT is evil. IPv6 brings us to a world of joy, of singing birds. The other thing to remember is that that world of joy is here whether we like it or not. So Windows has been IPv6 stacks, not IPv4, it's an IPv6 stack since Vista. Pure. Linux and Unix have all had IPv6 dual stacks. They just happen to support that legacy protocol. But internally, everything is IPv6, not IPv4. So, great, that one's not showing that now. Isn't PowerPoint wonderful? Just a reminder of where we are with Samba. A lot of great work has been done here. And you can see that since Samba 3.2, it was IPv6 enabled by default. So it just works. Kind of. If you look at the Linux SIFS client, it sort of had IPv6 support for a long time. And this was finally supported out with name resolution and everything around 2008. I think it was 2007, 2008. And Samba 4, well, it has no IPv6 support yet, but hopefully in the future. If we look at Windows, we've had IPv6 hanging around in the background for a long, long time. Indeed, Windows XP and Windows 2003, you can turn on IPv6 into production stack. Now, that doesn't mean that everything works with IPv6. Active Directory doesn't. Most of the tools don't. The GUI doesn't. Kind of important things, kind.
Does updating work these days?
I believe it does. I've not actually checked, but I believe it does. I was talking to Microsoft about it at the end of last year, and the guy I was talking to said that it does, but I've not actually checked myself, so that's kind of hearsay. But with Vista, Windows 7, Windows Server 2008, these are IPv6 products where everything that can work over IPv6 does. Now, not everything can. Okay, that doesn't work either. This is not going well. It must be something to do with some of the free software I'm running on here. Okay. Just a reminder for those who don't remember, NetBIOS, WINS, and all that is IPv4 only. So you will never get those to work with IPv6. So don't even try. Or NT domains, if you're still using that kind of rubbish. That won't work. But here, we only get SMB SIFS over IPv6, but with the more recent versions, we get everything. Okay. So, let's just do a quick reminder of where we are with Samba in a little bit of detail. This is an IPv6 Linux SIFS client. Just working a picture of Steve there. I use that again and again, Steve. And you can see that if you look at NetStat, you can see the connection. This is raw SMB. So there's no NetBIOS here. This is raw SMB. And this is an IPv6 address, which are very easy to remember. I'm serious. You can remember the inverse tan of 0.5, can't you? 26.565051118, root 2, 1.414213. If you remember those things, which are easy, then you can remember this kind of thing. So it works. This is an IPv6 name within DNS, and the resolution works, and so it makes an IPv6 connection. Easy. Samba 3.2 onwards, everything works that can work, and not everything can, of course, remember NetBIOS over TCP/IP, works over IPv6. But has anybody noticed the binding errors that you get in your log files when you're using Samba 3.2 with IPv6? Cannot bind to socket. Have you seen those? Well, the reason is that IPv6 by default on some platforms When you bind on some platforms, this is really quite a funny story that I'd love to talk to you about for about half an hour, but I'll save that for another talk. When it binds to an IPv6 socket, it also binds to IPv4. So there is what's called binding ambiguity. This is fixed only about 12 days ago in 3.6 by Stefan Metzi. And so now, if you're going to run IPv6, I'd say use this, because you'll get rid of those warnings and one or two other little problems. But pretty much everything works over IPv6, as I will show you. IPv6 on SAMBA 4, well, there is a rule for SAMBA 4. It will not be released with less features than you have in SAMBA 3. Right? Something like that, that you agreed, main feature, something like that, I've got that right. And Jeremy has assured me, categorically, that it will not be released without full IPv6 support. Now, early on, I myself produced a hack that was purely awful. Kai had a look at this, and his comments were in colourful. It was a heap of junk. Don't use it. But in actual fact, changing the code to be IPv6 ready is easy, and it may well be done by the end of the talk.
The good part is that it probably won't apply anymore anyway.
Exactly. It won't apply. So don't use it, and I'm not even going to talk about it. But SAMBA 4 will be IPv6 enabled, and the fact is that when I did use a hack on it to do IPv6, everything worked. So you could join to it over IPv6, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now we're on to how to actually do this. This, I hope, is the bit that you've come here for this time. If you've come here for one of my developer talks on IPv6, then I'm sorry. The infrastructure. What do we need to do to get it to work? Well, we need addresses. We need our nodes to be configured with IPv6. The wonderful thing about IPv6 is you turn it on, and by magic, the node is configured. In IPv4, you have to create a DHCP server and manage it to get it to configure automatically. But in IPv6, we have something called stateless address auto configuration, or SLAC. You turn a node on, everything works, there are no problems because it's IPv6. However, you have options. For example, you may want to assign an address statically. This is a server. SAMBA's a server, so you probably want to assign an address statically. There are multiple ways of doing that. We'll just briefly talk about one way of doing it in a moment. SLAC means that all of your clients, whatever they are, Windows, Linux, Unix, even Macs, if you power them on, they will gain everything that they need to connect to the IPv6 world. However, you can also use SLAC and DHCP v6. Anybody know why we need DHCP as well as SLAC? Kai?
If you want the client to register with DNS, for example.
Exactly. SLAC doesn't give you a domain name. It doesn't give you a DNS server address. It might do in the future. The router advertisements, there's a new standard that might allow that, but at the moment it doesn't. So you need DHCP v6 to do that. Now, this is fun for you administrators, so if you're doing this. In the past, if you wanted DHCP in IPv4, you turned it on the client, didn't you? Can't do that with IPv6. Or if you can, the developers who wrote it got it wrong, and I've seen that. With IPv6, it is the router advertisement that tells the client whether it should use DHCP v6 or not, and what to use it for. This is not the same. And of course, you can use different forms of DHCP v6, which unfortunately are not the same as V4 DHCP. They've even changed the names of the messages that are the same, just to make it great for training companies and consultancy companies like my own. So, you need DNS as well. Name resolution is probably the most important thing. Remember, we don't have WINs. So, when you're choosing your addresses, it's important to understand them. really important, because you can truly foul things up with addresses in IPv6. Usually, don't use linked local addresses. I'll show you that in a moment. Use global addresses. There is no reason not to do this. You do not need intranet addresses with IPv6. Everything can be global. Use native IPv6. Anybody got native IPv6 feed here?
Germany's bad about that.
Okay. But this will get better. So you may not have native, but try to. Statically assigned server and routers, use Slack and DHCP v6 as well. These are the things you need to learn about. Don't say anything, Jeremy. the different types of addresses. The top address, for example, is a global address that's specially chosen for this. The next one is an IPv4 mapped address. Then we have a linked local address with an interface identifier. Anybody know what that is? Multicast? With a particular group. That's for routers. Then we have something called Teredo. We have 6-to-4. These are both creating automatic tunnels, which you are not aware of necessarily. 6-bone, and here we have something called Isotap, which creates automatic tunnels inside an intranet, an IPv4 intranet. These are fiendishly complicated things which you need to be aware of. But the best thing to do is to get an address. And if you can't get it natively, use a tunnel broker. These tunnel brokers will give you a /48 for free, and that can give your network 64K subnets. I have two of these at my home, just in case. So I've got 64K subnets with this number of hosts on each subnet, which is, that's a million, that's a US billion. UK billions, by the way, are 1,000 times smaller than US billions. And that is about, I don't know, what would you say? About a million addresses per person, approximately, engineers' approximation. So that's quite a per person on the face of the earth. So that's quite a big number. Easy to assign it in Windows. You can assign your IPv6 address here manually if you want, and you can assign your IPv6 DNS server here. In Linux or Unix, you find that ifconfig has been extended on most platforms. The syntax is similar on most, but not all, to allow you to add an IPv6 address. The reason it says add is because, unlike IPv4, it is normal to have multiple IPv6 addresses. So in IPv4, it is usual to have one address. In IPv6, it is unusual to have one. Something to watch out for. The IP command supports IPv6 as well. And here we can see a typical example of an interface where you have a link local address, which is only has a scope that works on the link that it's connected to, and a global address which is routable across the internet. Okay. How do you configure Slack? Stateless address auto-configuration. Well, on Windows, you can turn it on, but you probably wouldn't, because Windows isn't a very good router, and you need to turn it on a router. I did this at the SDA, Storage Developers Association, conference end of last year, and I was given misinformation, and it caused everybody to go down a black hole. And everything broke, and somebody, Kai, came to me and said, "It wasn't your fault, was it, David? I've just got an IPv6 address that goes nowhere." The beauty of this is you can configure all the nodes on your network from a router, and you can fix problems like that, which I did in about a minute, by sending out another advertisement. And this advertisement defines the prefix. It also says that this is the default router. So you no longer need to configure a default router. It's always configured from the router advertisements, unless you're mad and want to do it manually. These two flags tell you whether you're going to use DHCP or not. So without the router configuring DHCP v6, you have no DHCP v6. DHCP v6 is different from DHCP v4. So you will need to learn about that. This is an example on Windows. You know how you create ranges of addresses? Yeah? You're familiar with that in DHCP. With DHCP v6, you create exclusions rather than a range of addresses that you will use. So these are addresses that won't be used within that network. It's the opposite. Here's an example of a static configuration on a server and an automatic configuration on a client. Notice how many addresses you've gained. So if you're dealing with Windows clients or you're dealing with Linux, where you've turned on what are called privacy addresses, you will gain temporary addresses that have got short lifetime. They're like quarks. They appear and then disappear. This is just to make your administration of firewalls, access control lists, and looking at logs almost impossible. IPv6 is great. Okay, so once you've done that, any questions about that? Are you happy? Yes, Steve. Yes, RADVD is the Linux Unix FreeBSD router advertisement daemon. So that's the configuration for it. Sorry, I didn't explain that.
So this is on the router? Yeah. Okay, so that's why I don't have one on my system, which I just verify, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so that explains that. The second thing is there any way to tell, the buyer needs this router that it could support the... Because all of us probably use something that I buy and just buy.
You have to look at the spec. Not all consumer devices support router advertisements. Some have done for years. I mean, for example, anybody here got, what are those Apple things, those Wi-Fi things from Apple? What do they call? Sorry? No, not an iPod, the base station, the AP. Oh, AirPort, is that what you said? Oh, my hearing's going. Yeah, the AirPort, you're absolutely right. The AirPort will do this automatically, if it can. Yeah. Is that... If a router supports IPv6, then by definition, it should be able to do router advertisements. By definition. So if it says supports IPv6 and doesn't do router advertisements, they're lying and get your money back. So that's that. There are a couple of interesting things on there that I probably don't have time to tell you about, but I would love to. But here we have testing it, and you can see that here we can test another node on the same physical network, the same, not necessarily physical, but the same LAN, the same data link. You notice with your link local address that you have to specify the interface. Without the link local address, it's done in the routing table, so it's a global address, and you can just use the global address as you would any other address, just to make sure that it works. Watch out if you're testing this with Windows. By default, ping is blocked. That's a bad thing, blocking ICMP and IPv6, but that's another story that we'll have to wait. So, testing from SMB client, dead easy. This is to a Windows Server 2008 node, and you can see it just works as it would do with IPv4, although, of course, there's no NBT work groups. And again, if you want to do link local, you must specify the interface as well. We're getting there. Probably the most important thing is name resolution. Has anybody here set up an IPv6 DNS server? Kai, of course. Oh, and of course myself. Yes, so there's a couple of people. Okay. This is probably the area that causes the most trouble. We don't have NetBIOS name resolution. We don't have WINS. We can use the host file. We can use something called LLMNR, although there's no support in Samba as yet, or in most other Unixes, products, and so on. DNS is the preferred way, and we also have something called literal addresses that we can use. If we look at DNS, Windows is dead easy. You just click a few buttons and it works. Bind is pretty easy. All you have to do is add in a Quad A record and put your IPv6 address at the end. The reverse lookups are also easy. In your head, you just reverse it, put dots between every digit, and put it in the IPv6.arpa.domain. So here you've got, you have to go backwards, which is 204.5.5249 and so on. It's quite easy to do. And it helps if you turn on IPv6 transport, which is not on by default in Bind. Another thing that you also need, which comes to those who went to Kai's talk on DNS, if you are using IPv6, you are likely to get big messages over the 512 limit that's in the original standards. And if you're using DNSSEC as well, you're almost certain to get DNS messages that are too big to go in the UDP packet of 512 bytes. So you must ensure that you have eDNS0 support for extended DNS for larger UDP message sizes. Okay, so then you configure your client. etc/resolve.com, put the IPv6 address in. Easy. Windows, put the IPv6 address in. And then you are able to do DNS lookups for the name of your server. So if we use SMB client, DNS name, we get the same result, and it works. Now, there are a few things that might catch you out, and these are to do with how you write names. For example, if we look at, here's a PuTTY configuration, and if I want to connect to one of our servers here, if I didn't have these square brackets, can you see those? Around the IPv6 address, it would think it was a domain name because it's got letters in it. So there are lots of places where you use square brackets to delimit the fact that it's an IPv6 address. And tempting fate here, but that should connect because I've got IPv6 connectivity here. And if you don't believe me, and I've lost my mouse, so I probably... Oh, there it is. User incompetence. You can see it was working earlier, but the Wi-Fi, is it a bit iffy? Yeah. Okay, so it is a little iffy, but, okay, it's timing out at the moment, but... Okay, we'll come back and look at that later. So far, I've mentioned the literal addresses because in Windows, UNCs can't contain square brackets. So if you want to write an IPv6 address in a Windows command, you have to do it another way if you don't have a name for the address. So what you can use is something invented by Microsoft called IPv6 literal addresses, where you replace the colons with hyphens. And if you're using linked local addresses, you replace the percent to specify the interface index. You replace it with a letter S. And CIMO has provided support for this in Linux and Unix through a name service switch module, which you can download from that address, and it just works. And so here we are on Linux with a literal address, and it just works. So that's very useful. Now, I won't talk about that. Let's actually look at what we do with Samba. Now, the great news is that it's almost the same as for IPv4. We can use IPv6 addresses in almost every place where we could have used an IPv4 address. So here we see the interfaces global option set to the IPv6. Anybody know what that is? Apart from Kai, of course. Loopback, the IPv6 loopback address. Notice how beautiful it is compared to 127.0.0.1, which doesn't make sense. :\1 makes sense. And here we can see SMB client also using :\1, and this is to a Samba share. As I mentioned, Metsi earlier has made some changes about binding, which is why I recommend Samba 3.6. Here we have got IPv6 addresses in another example where we have the host allow parameter. And you can see here that it's just the same as for an IPv4 address. This is with it turned off and this is with it turned on. And it just works. Now, here we have got an example net use, where we're doing a net use to a Samba server with a Samba share over IPv6. And again, the good news is that it just works. And if we look at the trace, we will see that there's nearly all of this is IPv6 traffic. Now, there actually are a handful of IPv4 packets flying around, but in this example, they're not necessary. It would work fine without those IPv4 packets flying around. Any questions so far? Yes?
Does RPC and Samba 4 support IPv4?
Not at the moment, but it might do when Andrew's finished, or Tridge has finished typing. Maybe. Certainly, the RPC code, I have converted it to IPv6 and it worked. But whether it will actually work when it's done properly, of course, yes, it will. So, what do we get out of using IPv6? Well, first and foremost, we're using current modern protocols rather than legacy protocols. And I'm not joking. IPv4 is now into a legacy stage. Auto configuration is extremely useful. Being able to turn on a device, say an appliance, in a consumer's house, and everything just works, is a very useful feature. Getting rid of NAT, the benefit of this cannot be overstated. I, for example, can connect to any of my servers in my office or at home over IPv6 directly without having to have hacks like a VPN. I can do it with IPsec and do it transport end-to-end securely without any problems at all, and it all works. And that's a fantastic feature. And, of course, NAT breaks IPsec. So if you wanted to do that with IPv4, you couldn't. You have to use clumsy monsters like VPNs that you have to turn up, bring up, and then drop down. So that's not a good thing. Also, IPv6 is mandatory in some companies, in some organizations, in some parts of the world. If we want to see Samba progress, we need IPv6. Otherwise, we're going to start seeing rejections when we're doing proposals or tenders that involve IPv6. There's also theoretical benefits, things like quality of service improvements, jumbo datagrams that for niche markets may well be attractive. And finally, going back to what I said about being able to get to my servers from home, have you heard of Microsoft Direct Access? No. That's interesting. We are getting interest from some very large companies for IPv6 purely because of this product. What it allows you to do is get rid of VPNs. You know how when you turn a Windows machine on and it authenticates with Active Directory in the office? When you do that outside of the office, say in Starbucks, you have to create your VPN and then authenticate. With Direct Access, it uses IPv6, so you are securely connected to your work network without a VPN. So when you turn your laptop on, it's already in the domain.
So it supports
client servers? Yep. It is cool. And I think it's also an opportunity for anybody out there. I know some people have created things like it that haven't used IPv6. But there is an opportunity here for using Samba components to build something over IPv6 like Direct Access. It's certainly got a big market opportunity. So finally, there are a few things for you to think about here. There's a lot of differences between IPv4 and IPv6, which we can't really cover in this talk. And the detail is sometimes important. The biggest thing to get right, I think those who've done IPv6 would agree, is name resolution and the misuse of addresses. So I hope those are a few hints for you, and I hope that's useful. I've also provided some references, particularly for developers who are interested in my talks on developing, and some background information about myself. But thank you for listening. Are there any questions or anything that I haven't covered that you would like to go over? This gentleman here.
Wait a minute. What about network browsing? You know, with IPv4 or Samba, you can use NetBIOS to do network browsing.
That's gone.
Completely? No replacement?
You can use link local multicast name resolution within Windows, but as I say, at the moment, that doesn't exist for Samba or Unix, as far as I'm aware. I've seen some patches, attempts to get it into Samba by some people, but it doesn't currently exist. And I think for consumer networks, where people want to be able to do that, there is a need for LLMNR, link local multicast name resolution. And it's not the same as MDNS, multicast DNS, even though it is multicast DNS.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So apparently the World IPv6 Day is in 3 weeks?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what do we need to do here as a for World IPv6 Day?
Well, all you need to do is to IPv6 enable your web servers and inform them that you've done so, so that people can test it and try it out. That's what's happening on that day. And so some of the big players, the largest internet companies in the world, such as Google, are going to do that, turn on IPv6 for a day. Now, obviously, we didn't get onto that list because we've been running IPv6 for years, for a decade, over a decade, in fact. But that's what you could do. Samba, www.samba.org, is already IPv6 enabled. So you could tell them that you're IPv6 enabled, and they will add you to the list for testing. Yeah, how's this gentleman here?
I have a little question. There's misunderstanding. To find servers in a local network, you explained about a multicast name resolution, and I was not getting it. Is this Bonjour or MDNS?
No.
It's something different.
It's something different. Now, I have got a slide. Where are we? Back here, which I skipped over.
So this is implemented in Windows clients and servers?
It's only Windows, yeah, okay. At the moment. I think there is a commercial product out there that has it on another platform, but not an open source product. So it's almost identical to Multicast DNS or Bonjour. It's almost identical, but it's a Microsoft version of the same, using different multicast addresses with a slightly, very slightly different protocol.
It's a Microsoft version, but it's an ITF standard.
It is a standard, yes. Yeah. And is it actually a standard or an informational RFC, Tom? It's approaching a standard.
There's a whole process.
Yeah.
Is this you? Go ahead. Is this used for more than servers, also for printers and other devices, or just for servers?
It's useful for all devices.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, I am of the opinion that despite the fact that everybody's using Bonjour, this would be extremely useful to have in Samba and open source products. And it would be really nice if somebody was to implement that.
Thank you.
I think Microsoft would love to help.
No? I'm definitely.
I think LLMNR isn't something Samba needs to support directly. It's something that Avahi should support, and there are patches for Avahi that at LLMNR support, but they are not yet upstream. They are they exist since 2 or 3 years already, but they are not still.
Yes, I agree. Gone upstream. It's really something that you need outside of Samba. Yeah, you're absolutely right. As a name service switch module, as
it's supported from Vista forward. So Vista 087 all the way there.
Yeah.
Any more questions? Of course, you can also jump in outside in the next
Absolutely.
Coffee break.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for your talk.
Thank you.